That can take you from your small beginnings to your moderate business operation on into web. Is a company that can take you from your small beginnings to your moderate business operation on into websites and marketing, everything. So I thank the Lord for Robert and Gatewood Marketing.
I can't forget you. The thought Welcome to the Brothers for Real radio show. I'm Robert Gatewood, sitting in for Leon this afternoon. He'll be... Joseph, welcome to the show.
What's up, Robert?
How you doing, brother?
Doing great, man. What about yourself?
Things... Well, all things considered, doing pretty good. Pretty good, pretty good.
All things considered, I think we're doing outstanding.
Yeah, when you look at it that way, people are suffering, people are going through a tough time. I think they have to hope that the ones that are doing well have to support the ones that aren't. Have to give each other courage.
What happened to your sound, Robert?
What are you?
Huh?
What's going on? If it's
your background
not
music still playing for one thing.
Okay. All right, how about that?
Man,
can you hear me?
Much better. Yeah,
ahead,
you sound much better now.
Had Dionne Warwick cutting up back there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So what's the situation down in Carolina?
Well, the situation down in Carolina seems like we have everything is going lovely. We still have the shutdown of non-essential businesses. And I don't hear anybody talking about opening it up anytime soon. Of course, I read today for a bar up there in Washington with Trump. He's talking about filing some type of lawsuit or some type of action against governors that refuse to open their states up, even though people are still dying in large numbers.
So what's the governor in North Carolina? Is he pro-opening, or is he pretty much trying to hold things adhering to the will of the people?
Well, but quite frankly, he was one of the idiot here. He was one of the first to close down before we, had a lot of cases. And of course, in the city of Charlotte, of course, they ordered a shutdown of non-essential businesses. So the North Carolina shut it down, and then of course the city of Charlotte had their own guidelines. But no, he's not one of these people out here advocating the opening up before, until we have some system in place to determine who has and who does not have the disease. So he's been pretty reasonable, and of course, and I think that's one of the main reasons North Carolina has not been hit as hard.
Well, has not been hit as hard with the virus itself, but what about financially? What about socially? What about some of the other ways that really have this negative impact on our community? Because
Businesses that are closed down, especially these barbershops and hair salons and all this kind of stuff, I'm sure they got to be hurting pretty bad because those were the first ones that they ordered to shut down. You know, a lot of these people, they live from weekend to weekend as far as their money is concerned.
Yeah, they eat what they kill. You don't kill, you don't eat.
Exactly.
But, Joe,
right.
This is the chat. Go ahead.
Go ahead, I'm listening.
But this is the challenge. This is why it's particularly precarious for our community and why we find ourselves in a quandary. As we've stated before, we are disproportionately represented in these high-risk jobs, occupations, where we're facing the public, handling food, handling people, handling money, and add that to the layer of the fact we already are predisposed to some of the worst health ailments, such as hypertension, cancer, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and you add those two together, and even though blacks are not pushing to open the governments, we're still disproportionately impacted economically. So it's like, you're damned if you do, if you're damned if you don't. And then here's another one, Joe. a lot of people are not getting stimulus checks because they're basing it on the fact that you had to file your income tax, either 2018 or 2019. And I hate to say it, but many people in the impacted group have not filed the income taxes on time, too, particularly when it comes to small black businesses. Some of them like 2, 3, 4, 5 years behind, so they're waiting on these stimulus checks that are not going to come if they hadn't filed their taxes. So it's a quandary.
Well, my understanding wasn't that you had to have filed a tax.
For which one?
Well, I didn't even, for either one of them, I didn't, I filed my taxes for 2018, but I didn't see that as one being one of the criteria for receiving the money.
Well, they got to base it on something. Like, for instance, if you're getting a deposit, let me put it right into your account. They're basing that on the fact that you had to apply electronically in the past. So the people that haven't received anything yet, many times it's because of how they filed, when they filed, if they filed. They may get something eventually, but they're taking care of the low-hanging fruit early. So a lot of people
right.
who are waiting on checks, they may be waiting a little longer, but once again, those are the ones that need it the most. So it's, I don't know, man. I'm kind of on the fence because I'm a business owner, and I work with a lot of small businesses. And when I see people who have really their income has just shut off 100%, I mean nothing. I talked to a guy the other day, hair salon. He's like, there's nothing coming in, period. And he hasn't gotten a stimulus check. So are we going to start to see some pushback from people trying to the government to open from our community? Hey, Leon. All right, we got some. I have an echo. Is that you, Leon?
Yeah.
Okay, we're good now.
Robert.
Hey, man. Yeah. I hear you.
I had to call myself.
Yeah, I see.
From the site. Instead of calling in.
Okay, was it because I was logged in as the host?
Yeah, well, that's why I couldn't. I just talked to another person was trying to call in, and they couldn't get in, so.
All right, but brother, welcome to the conversation. I was just talking to Joe, but we're talking about
the
precarious situation. We find our community in. I really found it very intriguing, your theme for today. Cut your barber, pee for that check. Cut your hairstylist, pee for that check. Cut your lawn guy. So go ahead, man, jump in. I want to hear your take on that, because we know, of course, some people are getting stimulus checks. Some, it's not necessarily going to the people that need it the most. Remember what old Neely Fuller says every Tuesday on his show? True justice means that help go to those that need it the most. And at least this particular point, that is not what has happened. And sometimes it's not necessarily that it's intentional. In some cases, it's intentional, but some cases just because of how you filed, when you filed, if you filed, and a couple of the boxes that were checked or not checked. But whatever the case may be, a lot of people that need to be getting help are not getting help.
Exactly. Well, Robert, I actually got I picked that up from one of your sermons on the marketing pulpit, you know.
Okay.
As far as listening to or considering how barbers and beauticians at this point are not receiving any money. And so I reached out to a couple of my friends that are in that business, you know, before I decided I was going to bless them out. Because this guy down in Georgia, Kemp, you know, even though you guys had an interesting conversation going there before just a few seconds ago. I mean, nothing has changed. as far as deaths are concerned. Matter of fact, they're still peaking, but all of a sudden they want to go back to normal or open up the system. I guess they'll do some things differently, like wear masks and all that. I guess they think they're ready to handle that. But anyway, that's a whole new show. But the guy down in Georgia, Kemp, who has proven to be totally insane, you know, he decided he was going to open up, get this, barbershops, beauticians, massage parlors, bowling alleys. Anyway,
well,
that's just confusing to me.
Well, let me ask you this. If you were a barber, if you were a barber, would you be equally as opposed to it as somebody who's not a barber?
Well, let me, that's why I'm glad you asked that question. Because I was wondering, and I actually called a barber and some friends of mine asked him. And the barber, one of the guys I talked to, said that, man, look, I have no money coming in. He said, I have $0 coming in. I can't file unemployment. Don't got no stimulus check yet. I'm just talking. So,
you
feel me? So that was his take. He said, look, man, so if they open up, I'm going to try it. You know, I'm not going to, I'm ready to do something. So, you know, and the only way, and I asked him, and he said, well, only, so I asked him about this concept. He said, I appreciate you guys thinking about this concept. Share it. He said, because only two people have really reached out to me and tried and thought of that. Like, as far as helping me out, he said, in this time. And, you know, like I say, Robert, Joseph, Daniel. I see Daniel's on the line. Hey, Daniel, how you doing?
Daniel.
See,
hey, Daniel.
Yeah, Daniel's on the line, man. The baby boy.
Hey, Daniel.
So.
The baby boy?
Yeah. The baby's on the line. So he was telling me, look, man, I need help. I need to work. I need to go back to work. So, and that's why I wanted to talk to him before I went crazy on the guy down there in Georgia. I mean, nothing I can do really but get upset, but and think he's crazy. And he is crazy. But like you say, so what do you do? Do I feel the same way? I mean, do I have the right to say not open up? And it's not my job that has been cut off? I don't know.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's take the race element out of it. Let's take the race element out of it. Let's just look at it from a purely economic and nonpartisan perspective. Do every business need to be closed? Does every business need to be closed? Or there are some businesses that can be open with a some modicum of low risk? Or are we being too general with this broad brush? I know they've designated some businesses as non-essential, but essential does not necessarily mean no risk. There are some no-risk businesses that are not essential. Low risk.
There are some essential businesses that are very high risk.
Essential.
Yeah, like these chicken farms, chicken plants, meat processing plants are 700 at the time of getting infected.
Hold on, Leon. You saying chicken is not essential? Hold on, bro. Slow your roll now. You said chicken. I may have to check you on that one. we need our chicken, man. I'm sorry. I can't go with you on that one.
All right, man. I'm not going to always tell them that. I'm eating oysters, but.
Yeah. But check this out. In some state up here, Tyson's Food, they had an outbreak, almost like an epidemic within an epidemic, in their plants. And of course, people are saying, you got to close. They finally just closed like today. They shut down. Now, luckily for them, I mean, in a good way, they're actually going to continue to pay the employees. But it took so long, and check this out. That's why we have to think these things through. So let's just say the Tyson's chickens across the country stop functioning tomorrow. and let's just say it went on for the entire month of May. Think about the food supply chain. You think you had problems before. If all of these food companies take the same approach, and I'm not taking a position. I'm not saying they should stay open or not. I'm just saying we have to think this thing through and prepare ourselves for the eventualities. And how is it going
I just heard Governor Cuomo make an interesting point. The news reporter was pressing him during his conference. She kept asking him, what about people who say they're going to starve if they don't go back to work? And he just kept pressing the point. He said, well, they use that line, whether the cure can't be worse than the, whatever the word is, however they put it. And he said, the cure can't be worse than the illness. He said, well, the illness, the end result of the illness is death. He said, that's that. So you have an option of being whatever you're talking about and dying for a lot of people. So are we ready to die? You're basically saying, are you ready to die?
Well, taking it devil's advocate, but aren't you going to die also if you don't eat?
Well, you're going to die if you eat eventually. Let's put it that way. Everybody's going to die eventually. So I'm gonna just put it to you raw. I'm gonna put it raw. Put it down with you. The coronavirus caught us when our drawers down. We don't know how to deal with this.
You're right. It blindsided us. I mean, a roundhouse. I mean, Joseph can relate to that. That sucker gave us a roundhouse.
That's what somebody pretty much said today. We could have been more prepared, but we were not because you have to go back to when the government knew it and what did they do when they did know it. And if you go back to, I mean, I know that's not going to help the situation, but we didn't have to be caught in that position because the World Health Organization made it known to the world in January that there was a pandemic on its way. And that was the time then for every nation to start taking some action. But, of course, it was like the second week in March before we even began to take it serious. So for all intents and purposes.
And here's another. Right. Well, I'm just saying, I'm just going to go there now, Joseph. Going there now, and here's another. That's another way we got caught with a drawdown. Ended up with somebody like Trump as president during a pandemic.
Right.
Now you talking about getting caught?
Now,
you got caught naked.
Thing that we got completely caught bucket naked with Trump. with Trump being the president at the time. I mean, that's just like you in the house sick. You in the house sick and you ain't got nobody in there to take you to the hospital but a joker the stone cold drunk. That's your only
right.
Route to the hospital.
Hey, well, Leon, let's go back to Brother Neely Fuller's theory that in the system of justice, help goes to those who need it the most. And yes, we did talk about this on the show about the paying it forward. And I made a very impassionate plea that some people have been blessed. Some are in industries that have not only sustaining, they're actually improving. They're actually blossoming during this time. And everybody knows somebody that's suffering, that's hurting.
That's right.
And so what I made a plea on the Marketing Pulpit show that what we're going to do, if we can, if you know someone in the hair industry or in one of these industries that are not essential or are closed and there's really no money coming in, we're going to do what we call prepay for the service. So I did one of my designers, I didn't pay a lot, but I knew he was struggling. I told him, look, I know a better day is coming, and I know you're good for it. I'm going to go ahead and take that.
You got a hair designer?
Huh?
You got a hair designer?
No, no, this is.
Oh, you have a heritage.
No, this is a graphic design. No, I ain't worried about my bush right now. I look like Cornel West about the head.
I got a shag, man, because I can cut my head in the front, but I can't see the back.
You got to get a mirror, man. You got to go mirror. Hey, look, get one of those. You get some clips with that slopes on it. That way you can't gap your head. You don't have to look back there. Just get. Matter of fact, you don't even need a mirror. You get the slopes and just run it back there and pray and just hope. But anyway, my point is.
Best to have a mirror, though.
A mirror.
Right, just ahead to speak up.
I was on a dangerous road there.
Yeah, we want
to. Like the road
to
Damascus.
We want to keep it real.
Well, we are brothers for real. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Robert, you scared me though when you said design. I thought somebody had a hair design.
No, I'm not. I don't have any hair design.
Well, Robert, that's a good idea. Just like what you were saying, if that's an idea you probably need to promote. Get all these people in the, the hair business. Especially for somebody like me, for example, because quite frankly, I hadn't been hurt by this thing. But if, say, for example, if I was going to a barber and I've been going to a barber for 20 years, like a lot of people have been doing, and the guys hurt, just pay for some hair cuts in advance.
I'm going to propose this now. We'll make this one of the brothers' initiatives. And let's throw, matter of fact, to tell you how my brain is always thinking. I went ahead and registered a domain, prepay for services. And I think that if we make this a national movement, that we can actually start making sure that some of the people who are struggling, particularly in our community, they get something.
Right.
I mean, we're not going to be able to pay their mortgage. Nobody should go hungry. Nobody should not be able to afford basic necessities. Their lights shouldn't be turned off. And we're not rich folks.
Right.
But putting our resources together, we can attract people of like minds and turn this into a movement so that people that are waiting
That's
on
right.
these checks, I mean, yeah, when the check comes, good. God bless them. But what about the folks that need something today?
That's right.
Having a $50 or $100 Cash App or your PayPal or your Venmo or your Zelle would go a long way for some people. I was reading an article about a guy up in Detroit. His young brother, he's like 27, 28 years old. This guy said he was in that no man's land where he was like an independent contractor. He wasn't getting a stimulus check. He wasn't getting unemployment. He was like a contractor, free writer. He was like a creative writer or something. This guy said he was down. He was going through the change in his pockets of his clothes that he's worn over the past few months. He came up with about $20. He said that was all the money he had in the world. I mean, that just broke my heart. Now imagine what $100 would do to him. Prepaid him for his services. I mean, it could change his attitude if nothing else. It's not going to change the trajectory of his business, but you need something to hang on to while you get your act together. And sometimes that small stipend, or like you said, Leon, you said you were paying your barber, that might get him out of his doldrum for that day so that he can start thinking about what his next move is.
I talked to a brother today, and he said that just the thought that people were thinking that way made him feel better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
After he saw the post, he called me directly and said, man, just the thought that people are thinking that way makes you feel better. I understand that didn't put any money in his pocket right at the moment, but that's something we should really think about. And like Joseph just said, really advocate for, be advocates for. Just push it. Get people to think, look, man. Here's what happens, Joseph and Robert, Curtis and Daniel and Sylvia, whoever else is on the line. Here's what happens. We go to these people, like the barbers. Every time something happens, goes on in the community, first people we go in there and ask for a donation is the barbershop. First people we ask for a donation is the ladybug. We go in there and get them to just keep going back and forth in there. Then when they go down, like in a situation like this, and who knows, I'm just guessing. I mean, I know they don't have the money coming in that they used to. So it's a good idea for us to go. It's just brotherly and sisterly of us to go in and say, look, man, I don't have a lot of money, but here's something. I know you're not cooking today, but I might be hungry tomorrow when y'all cooking. You know.
Leon, also, it's the right, it's just the right thing to do. It's the Bible says it.
You know what?
Every piece of literature, whether it's biblical or whatever, spiritual, it's the right thing to help your brother and your sister when they're hurting.
Right.
And you don't have to be rich to do it. Everybody can do something.
That's right.
Exactly.
You know.
Hey, man, let's talk to Daniel a minute.
Daniel.
We say Joseph.
What I was getting ready to say was, you know, of course, I've been cutting my hair for forever. And, of course, and I don't see no reason to change it now. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and tell, because my wife, she's been looking for ways to, you know, my wife is a very generous person. And she's been trying to look out for some ways to kind of help people. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to bring him. Patricia, I got a great idea of what you can do. After that lady that's been doing your hair for the last 20 years, why don't you call her up and tell her you want to pay to get your hair done in advance for 4 months?
Oh, man. You going to make me cry?
What? Man, my heart just fluttered. I've been taking these pills, man. I thought it was that pill, man, but I think what you said just made my heart flutter.
I can't
I'm
going
to go in there and tell them to do that. That's what I'm going to call in. I'm going to go in there and call. Like I said, unless somebody come up with these ideas and get people to thinking, it don't happen. It don't happen.
It's a great
idea.
We are change agents, folks, okay? We've always been that way. Leon, you got your Holler group down there. Joe, always been had a big heart. Daniel over there. And we all have we influencers in our own rights. So let's use that this time to help our community, the people that are hurting. And like I said, we don't have to go broke doing it. We're going to invite people of like minds who even have deeper pockets and galvanize people so that we don't be always sitting around waiting on the government to save us. That's what ticks me off.
And waiting on people to donate to us, we need to start, you know, it needs to be a two-way street, you know? Go ahead, Joseph.
And what I'm going to tell Patricia, and I'm going to tell her when she does this, I'm going to say, and you tell your beautician what she can do. She can call her other clients and say that she suggested she does that. You know, so it won't like it's something she's coming up with. And this is what Miss Gatewood did. And she suggested that I call my other lawyer clients.
Joe, that we call that social proof. Call that consensus.
Yep.
It is out of belong, bandwagon effect. Because it's like that tip jar. You drop in the first dollar out of your own pocket. And whenever you see that tip jar, see that tip in there, others are more likely to add to the pot. And so by Pat and yourself starting it down there, then of course the pot will grow because they will see that somebody's doing
it.
Now
that's the truth, because if I go to a bar and the tip jar is empty, I don't put anything in it.
And that's what he needed the most.
Right.
He put money in a jar that already had food.
It's crazy. Let's talk to the baby right quick, man. Daniel, how you been doing, man? You retired. What's up?
I'm doing fine, brother. I've been retired. I went straight from retirement to homeschooling. I didn't get a day off.
You scared.
You sound a little muffled, Daniel.
You the one in charge of making.
I hear you, but you sound a little muffled.
I went straight from retirement to homeschooling. I didn't get much of a retirement. These kids out of school.
So
I bet them jokers eating everything not tied down too, aren't they?
Them jokers are eating, boy. Got the cook, got the breakfast,
man,
and brunch and snack, dinner.
That's so funny.
We keeping the economy going. Tell you that.
No, shake my hand here. Keep the economy going in your neck of the woods.
But y'all got a good topic the other day. I know these lot of businesses are suffering. Black businesses. These people ought to feel about community, and they just suffer. I don't know how to think that.
The thing, we've been saying that everybody can do something. Hey, but look, I'm gonna change the topic just quickly. Daniel,
okay.
I'm just gonna just let everybody know. Daniel is a recording producer like nobody I know. We contacted, I'm the executive producer of the Neely Fuller radio show. Comes on every Tuesday at 9 o'clock. I'm also their marketing and a few other hats I wear for the organization. We needed somebody to put together a nice theme song, talking about keeping it in the community. And the guy was saying, you go on the internet, you can, you know anybody. I thought about you. I know somebody. I got a brother. So we put the job in Daniel's hand. Man, let me tell you, Daniel knocked that thing out of this here park. I'm telling you. That thing is, man.
Rob, can you play it for us?
Y'all keep talking about
it.
Up.
I want y'all to play it.
Go ahead,
y'all.
Go ahead, carry on.
Yeah, Daniel, we're going to carry on while you're doing that. Daniel. Yeah, I've been listening to it myself, man. I asked Robert one day. I said, man, that's some nice music that Neely Fuller got. That sounds interesting. I said, who did that? He said, Daniel. I said, who? Daniel who?
Same Daniel. Oh, man.
And Daniel made that music for the Neely Fuller show. This is an internationally known brother. Yeah.
Mr.
Fuller's in his 90s.
This guy is
Go ahead, Daniel.
Oh, I'm gonna put up a new Facebook post tomorrow with some. I did one of the Clark Sisters songs. One of their songs. I just redid it myself, doing all the singing.
What?
You know, people doing all this stuff now, showing all different pictures of different people singing. I'm doing all the singing, but I'm different pictures of myself while I'm singing. So,
you
know, you mean like the Clark Sisters that were just on.
Yeah.
You talking about the Clark sisters that were just on Lifetime?
Yeah.
Dorinda Clark Cole and those sisters, man.
Yeah. Everybody's talking about them, so I just thought I'd take one of their songs and mess with it a little bit. Didn't take about a minute of it, but I'm singing.
Well, all right, man.
We did a background in a key that I could sing it.
Well, you hear that, America? It's coming tomorrow. All right, America. Here we go.
Hear that, America? Like a Bernie Mac.
America. I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you, man. Don't play. T-Bar for real. I'm telling you.
By Bernie Mac. That's pretty good, wasn't
it? That's
pretty good,
bro.
That's
pretty
good.
Be serious over here. That's pretty good.
I'm telling you, boy. I tell you, put that dirty Neely Fuller, man. I'm telling you, that boy can play. I'm telling you, man.
Here we go, boys. Here we go.
If you do not understand white supremacy, what it is, and how it works, everything else that you do understand will confuse you. In all of these nine areas of activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. Anywhere on the planet, minute by minute, day by day, all of the time. All of the time. All of the time.
Wow.
Well,
that's
good.
That's
good.
Cool, man.
Yeah,
you sound pretty good.
You know that dog with that, man. Look at him.
Yeah.
Hey, get
y'all
sticking in the back.
Get good times. Good times working.
Pretty good. Sound like some Curtis Mayfield.
But
like
Daniel, every Tuesday morning, man, I'm telling you, every Tuesday morning from 9 o'clock until 11, that sound is being played all over the world. And we get calls from all over the world, too. Canada,
wow.
Europe, the U.S., and they're calling in. And every hour, every half hour, we on the break, we play that song. And, of course, we open up with it, close out with it. And I'm telling you, boy, it's powerful. It's powerful. You should pat yourself on the back.
That sounded pretty good just then. I was kind of skeptical about it. But that sounded pretty good, I'll admit.
Picture that voice in it with the doctor with Mr. Neil with Mr. Neely Fuller's voice in it. It really sounds good.
What y'all doing?
How old is Mr. Fuller, Robert?
Wow.
Fuller's 90 years old.
Who said that?
Sylvia.
Sylvia.
He was a follower.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, man. She the one that introduced me to Mr. Fuller. I used to say I don't want to hear that. Then one day I started. I said, "Darn, that little man be talking some good stuff."
We get Daniel. I delayed.
Hey.
All
right.
And then, of course, I got to give myself a pause. I put together that commercial you just heard with Mr. Fuller's voice in it, so I had to kind of time the music and adjust the volume and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So here's my own pack.
Yeah, y'all worked it out. Y'all worked it.
I'm gonna tell you a little story. If we put our heads together, somebody on the out, man, we have some power. That's why I'm saying when I look at this COVID-19, and everybody, instead of everybody looking at the mailbox waiting on their $1,200 check, their $500 check, or their stimulus money from the SBA. Get that money, yes. I'm telling you, get it. Stuff your pocket with it. Go out, feed your family. Do some good, great things. But hopefully you will use that money to give you some breathing room so you can now go out and join us and other like-minded people and continue to figure out how we can feed ourselves. We should be feeding ourselves. I'm telling you.
I agree.
And we put that.
I don't know if she was talking to us or what. I muted the conversation. Let's see.
Mute yourself, man.
That's right. Well, you know, that's what our real leaders have been telling us for years, but we hadn't been listening.
Yeah.
That's what they've been telling us for years.
What's that joke?
By us feeding ourselves and quit depending on the government and other folk, we just need to learn how to become more independent as a group, as a race, if that's what you want to call us. Well, we just have to become more independent, because one of the critical things that any successful race of people have, they have the ability to feed themselves. And see,
yes,
we don't even have that.
Yes.
We can't feed ourselves. If the main food supply decided to cut us off, what are we going to do other than go to Walmart and take some food? We don't have any gardens. We don't have any farms.
Man, you talking now. That's real talk, brother. That's real talk.
Yeah.
And I think what Leon has been saying, I heard him the other day. He was talking about where we got land and stuff. If we got land somewhere, we should start planting crops on it.
Yeah.
And we got to get back down to the basics, because what this pandemic has done, it has shined a black light on America.
Yeah,
we see all the defections. They've been brought to the light.
And another thing we need to do is keep talking to our people about healthy living.
Yes.
Keep talking to our people about healthy living, you know, and, you know, staying in shape, cutting back on cigarette smoking and all that other stuff that destroys your body.
And
a lot of people got upset with their current. Excuse me, what you saying?
Well, let me throw this in here before I lose the thought. And folks, also, let's stop living from paycheck to paycheck. Now, what that means, that doesn't mean you necessarily have to go out here and make more money. That means we got to cut back on some of these big fancy cars and designer labels and going on cruises every weekend and getting our hair did every week with these fancy hairdos. I'm saying, make better use of the money that you have. So when
a pandemic comes
along, you have 6 months of saving.
Yeah.
You're making enough money. You're making enough money right now. You're making enough money right now so that you can have some money put aside. I don't care what kind of job you have. It's all in how you spend that money. I'm going to tell you something that shocked me one day. I'm also a franchise consultant. This guy came to me one day. He came to buy a franchise. And the guy walked in there. He had overhauls on. He was a janitor. He'd been a janitor for about 40 years. This guy had a $1.2 million in the bank. I said, how in the hell did you do it? He said, I just saved. I said, Lord, help me. Now, I had to go sit down somewhere. That guy changed my life. I'm telling you, he changed my life. I had a whole different way of thinking after I talked to him. I went and got rid of my Jaguar, but a few other things. I can't do it.
And Jan keeps coming up.
I'm getting out of the way. I'm telling you, bro. When you're paying more for a car than most people for their house, there's something wrong. And so that's why it's cool ever since. I've been on the pulpit ever since. So please don't do that, y'all.
Hey,
one payment you could eat for about 3 months.
You know, Robert, you know, something you had brought up. This Hispanic lady called me yesterday about some home insurance, right? And of course, I did a quote. You know, the replacement cost on the house came to $322,000. That's a pretty nice house in Charlotte. And may not buy that much up there in Maryland, but $322,000 gets you a pretty decent piece of property in town. But anyway, So I said, you know, in the process of doing the application, so I just asked the lady, I said, what do you do? You know what she told me she did?
What that?
I clean houses.
Hallelujah. Preach.
She might be cleaning, sound like she's cleaning them out.
She said, I clean houses. I said, well, what does your husband do? Well, you know, just filling out the application. He a cook. So here they
sound like
he's
cooking some books.
Cooking some books.
Sound like he's cleaning the houses out. It sound like he's cooking some books.
Good joke. I know that was good. That was irresistible. That was too good to resist.
Very well.
Sometimes people give you a layup. They give you a softball. You got to take it.
Sorry about that, Joe. Go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
I was just piggybacking off what Robert just said about the, you know, and it's amazing. I see people come to my office like that all the time. I have some customers, man. They making three figures, by themselves, and struggling.
Right. Struggling. Yeah, they make. Hey Joe, you mean six, don't you?
Yeah, man.
I mean the first three, but yeah, six figures.
Okay, man. I was say making three figures. They need to be struggling.
Yeah,
I'm cooking some books. In other words, I'm saying over $100,000 a year for one person.
Okay.
I said that wrong. But anyway, but yeah, people making six figures, man, and struggling. You know, and I had a customer, man, I was feeling sorry for him, you know, because, you know, he could never pay his insurance on time, couldn't do this, man. So finally one day, I said, I'm going to sit down and talk to his brother and see if I can help him budget his money better, because I knew he was making no money. I couldn't find out just was making more money than I was making, my whole business.
But Joe, this is something I'm gonna ask the boys to do as we go out and start telling people to pay forward. We also got to start looking at the future beyond COVID-19. I remember when I was in his networking group. This young brother came in. He was a matter of fact. He owned a State Farm insurance agency, and he had just been awarded.
Mm-hmm.
And he had him a BMW, about 7 or 8 years old, but it was a very nice car. So he pulled me aside, you know, looking at me. I'm dressed pretty nice. So he figured I was like, think of a similar mind. So he said, man, I'm about to get me that new BMW, whatever the alphabet number they put together. He said, I said, is that your car out there? He said, yeah, man. I said, what's wrong with that car? He got quiet. And, you know, I just told him point blank, I said, don't do it. Don't do it.
Hey.
And he was shocked, man, because usually we're the ones that encouraging us to do it. Really want
right.
Oh, man, you're going to get the honey when you get that, man. Man, you're going to be turning some heads. Woo-hoo! I said, don't do it. And
hey,
he
Robert.
Didn't do it. Joe, he didn't do it. And 3 or 4 months later, State Farm did not renew his agency. The guy was on the unemployment line. Yep.
Well, hey, Rob, I got a similar story. There was this young brother of me in Charlotte. He opened up an insurance agency. And the first thing he went out and did was bought him a new Mercedes.
And
you know what I told my wife when he came home? I said he ain't gonna make it.
Man, Joe, we gotta this is something else the brothers we gotta get behind, man. We gotta, because this is killing our community. This has been exposed during this downturn. Some of these folks with these big cars, they're not making any payments right now.
Nope.
Joseph, you spoke ill will on that, brother.
No, I didn't. Because what I'm saying, I've been in insurance a long time, and I know how this thing works. You know, when you first start out, everybody got an issue. They'll come to you, right? And they'll have you thinking you're going to make a lot of money. And see, I didn't know people didn't pay car insurance until I got in the business. I thought everybody paid just like I did. but just for that brother, that's what happened to that brother. You know, because he was writing all these folks that, you know, just running in trying to get a insurance long enough to get them a tag or get the driving license or whatever, the way they do you. And like I said, about the same at the time, like Robert said, his brother did. I think about 6 months later, the sheriff was looking for him.
It sounds like my cousin. Check this out, guys. I would like to share something that I did this morning. I sent out a couple of messages to a couple of friends of mine that are in the beautician business, so to speak. Anyway, one of them is Charlotte Rue. I asked if it would be okay if I shared it with the audience, and she said, of course. She could have possibly wanted to call in tonight, but like myself, I couldn't get through tonight calling in. So I guess you wonder how I'm on the line. But when you get desperate, you figure things out.
Well,
anyway, I sent her, along with another couple other people, a text message this morning saying, I said, good morning. I trust you are doing well. I have been thinking about businesses who have been closed for a while, like hairdressers, a few barbershops, etc. I can only imagine what this is like, what that is like. Since the Kemp dude in Georgia has plans to lift the restrictions on businesses of this nature soon, I would like to hear your thoughts. My personal opinion is that it's idiotic, but I don't need my hair done, nor am I dependent on people who do that for my livelihood. This would also be a topic on our show tonight. So I asked if she would like to respond to that, and she did. And she responded and said, good morning, Leon. It's funny you should ask me that. I just left a cleaning supply business in Rockingham. I went to Food Line in Waysboro to see how I could get some of the disinfectant spray they've been using on their counters and conveyor belts. The manager sent me to this place. I want to get ahead of our eventual opening so that precautions will be in place. I'm replacing my paper towel rack with a paper towel dispenser using hospital grade hand soap. No more Bath and Body. Sad, sad stuff. Industrial strength disinfectants for spraying floors, chairs, sinks. Now, with that background information, I think it's crazy to open up this early. It's like playing Russian roulette, waiting for the infected person to come in. Luckily, my husband is still working, so that helps me. I have a renter at the salon who lives in the apartment, so that helps. The hairdressers in mama's shop cannot pay rent because they are not working. I have applied for SBA loans, unemployment, EIDL relief, PPP, etc., but have heard nothing back except for PPP, which has depleted its funds, but hopes to have monies available soon. Even without a financial debt, I'm not rushing back. I have a bad feeling about opening up too many variables that have no definite solutions. Women laugh and talk too much. They all have to wear masks. I've had customers insisting getting their hair done with Kohl's. The end of May sounds better to me. Otherwise, the risk is too great.
Right.
Now, on the other hand, I talked to a brother, and he doesn't have any type of safety net or income coming in. And he just said, look, man, I'm ready to go back to work. I mean, I'm just going to have to take my precautions and get some work done. I'm getting no money in, no loans, they can't file for unemployment insurance, because they're businesses. And they, of course, everybody knows these small business loans were depleted before they got started. And he's just suffering. So what do we do? But anyway, I just wanted to share that with you guys because she gave me permission to share it. And then she ended by saying, no, I don't want to go back. It reminds me of the movie Jaws. They knew he was still in the water, but they didn't want to miss the beach revenue. Trying to calm people's fears by reopening the beaches, knowing it could be deadly, I don't feel like being fish bait. So she's comparing it to being fish bait. I mean, you're going back out there knowing that virus is still out there.
Mm-hmm.
So is it worth it? Is it worth the risk? Yes, sir.
I don't like the comparison because going back in that water is discretionary. You don't have to go back in the water, but you have to in this country, in this society, in this economic system. You have to, particularly if you're a small business, you have to work to eat.
Yep.
That's a.
Well, is she trying to say if you work, you're gonna get eight?
Well, but see, the difference is. I get the analogy, but I think it's a little off in the fact that you don't have to go back in the water. That's a recreation. I think a different analogy would be something that where you had to do that, even though it might not kill you today, it might kill you tomorrow or have other repercussions. Like it's going to affect your mentality. It's going to affect your ability to pay your light bills. It's going to affect your ability to. It may hurt your business in the long run where it may end up having to close altogether. There are a lot of intermediate steps between starving and just sitting at home because there are a lot of different ways you can be negatively impacted. But I do agree that being premature and opening up is going to have some dire consequences too. But it's not as black and white to me. And I don't want to sound like Kemp or these other guys. I'm just saying we got to think about the people, like the barber guy that you just read the letter. I'm saying if the government's not going to help them, then we got to help them. Somebody's got to help them. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, the next thing is it's open up. Is anybody going to kill them?
Yeah. Well, Joe, this is what's been interesting. Where they've had tested opening things up, like the beach down in Florida, man, the minute those doors open, people file out of those houses like they're on fire. I think people would come. I mean, they're probably going to get infected, but I think they probably would come. Or some would.
You think
that's
they're
what
not going. You said they're probably going to get infected.
They're going to get the virus. Hey, but you see that beach that opened up in Florida? Man, that thing was packed. They weren't distancing or anything. They were just out there like it was good old times. Probably half of them going to get the Durham virus next week.
But here's the bad part about it, Neil, is when half of them get the virus, guess what? They're going to go back to their homes, to their jobs, their communities, and some of them even can tie up a different state.
Yeah.
This
thing is a mess, man. I hear what you're saying. I'm already ahead of you. I'm hearing you. It's a mess.
I got called. I mean, just like it is right now, any one of us are susceptible to that disease at any time. I mean, because it don't take one, you know, run into the one wrong person. But right now, the thing we're doing is trying to cut down on the odds. That's the only thing we're doing right now, trying to cut down on the odds. But when you open up a place like up the beach like that, or start back opening up bars and other and places like that, I mean you're making the stakes pretty high then.
Yeah.
Here's a better analogy. Let's just say that shark is in the water. Yes, we're going to leave old Jaws out there. But instead of going out there in that water to swim, the only way you can eat is to go out there and fish. Now it changes. The calculation changes. You're going to take your chances. You said, maybe the shark won't eat me. But if I don't get me some fish while I'm out here, my family's going to starve.
Anyway you put that big fish out there, I'm scared of him. Check this out, guys. Before we get off the line, Nancy Pelosi just posted this. So any of you guys thinking about waiting before you file Social Security, I'm just telling you, it may not be that soon with Trump. She just said, she just learned that Trump's new plan got $25 billion from Social Security. And I don't know what that means.
You know, I've been worried
about
that.
He plans to cut $25 billion. Now, why would you do that? Why would anybody do that? Why would you do that?
Punchy, let me tell you this.
Trump
in his career has been bankrupting businesses. That's what he's been doing, bankrupting businesses. And he's been able to, you know, move money here, move there, float money here, and, you know. And that's the same thing he's trying to do with this government, because Trump don't want to go out of that office with a $4 trillion deficit, and that's right, and exactly where he's headed.
Hmm. But Leon,
if y'all can get Social Security now, you better go ahead and get it. That's all I'm gonna
tell you. Let me tell you, I've been calculating that since this during pandemic started. I said the way they're handing out money and Trump at the wheel, man, that stuff is not guaranteed as people think it is. And Pelosi's kind of like stoking that flame.
Like I've been telling people, we are witnessing the fall of the American empire.
No.
Sorry, boys. Hey, did any of y'all watch the Titanic?
Yeah.
It's mathematical certainty. It's a mathematical certainty. America will sink.
Wow. I don't think Robert likes that. He's Somebody got to talk about the tailor.
You know, because somebody told me, say after every good president, we get a bad president. Say after every good president, we get a bad president. Say after the first Bush, we got Clinton, and then after Clinton, then we got another Bush, bad president. Then after Bush, we got Barack Obama. After Barack Obama, we got Trump. After Trump leaves,
we must be getting ready to get Jesus for this one.
The Lord himself getting ready to go in the White House.
That's what we're going to need after Trump. We're going to need Jesus.
We need a Messiah.
We need Jesus.
We're going to need Jesus.
We're going to end on a happy note today, boys.
That's your plan, man. All right, everybody have a good evening. We're getting ready to get out of here. The brothers for real are getting ready to go somewhere and get real because Lord knows we need it. Like we said, people, reach out to a friend that may need you. Reach out to a barber that may need you. Reach out to a hairdresser that may need you. Reach out to a restaurant that's closed down that may need you. Go in there and give them $100 worth of, buy $100 worth of croaker plates and don't take the croaker. Stuff like that. Good stuff. Do that. Yeah. Whatever you can think of, do, man. You know, whatever you like to say. I understand everybody's having a tough time right now. It's uncertain for everybody right now. But we can do it. We have to help each other. We must help each other.
Hey, Leon.
Daniel, good talking to you tonight, man. Hey, Sylvia.
Hey, Leon.
Yes.
Yeah.
We hear you.
Okay.
Yes, we hear you.
Okay, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What I was gonna say that I heard on the radio that a lot of seniors right now are feeling very lonely and depressed. So I was like thinking that one of the places I was going to support, because I hadn't supported them, but I was trying to figure out a way to support them, was that I thought about four senior mothers that I could go to that store and support it and bless those four senior mothers who. Just, as you know, there are a lot of them that are depressed and lonely. Send them something like the flower shop. Send them flowers and let them know that people are still thinking about them and they're not alone and what they're going through.
That's
so sweet.
Thank you. We just got to think this thing out. We got to help each other. Thank you, Ms. Judy, for sharing that.
Well, guys, I think we planted a
seed tonight.
Y'all,
Sylvia retired too, man. Yeah.
What?
Hey, Robert. Yeah, she retired too, man.
Man, I might go ahead and retire. Get my money dad going while it's still there. Sorry. I was trying to wait, man, but I don't know.
I don't think you should wait, Robert. You can still work and get it, you know.
I know. I've already.
Can't you still work and get your Social Security?
Yeah, you can get.
Like, Sylvia's an expert on this.
You get like
$1,500.
You
say, Robert? Yeah, I said, can you still work and get Social Security?
Yeah.
You can work and get Social Security, but when you get Social Security, they don't allow you to make for so much a year if you're getting it at a young age.
Right.
Well, none of us are young on this page.
I think you can get like $18,000 a year. With this
country. Oh, okay. Yeah, if you take probably early retirement, you wait till you're 70, you can do what you want to, make what you want to.
Yeah.
I
think a lot of folks are recalculating. They're re-looking at that thing a little harder now than they did, let's say, before this virus hit. So,
before Trump hit, that's what I was looking at. Well, before Trump hit,
you're right.
I didn't need the virus, brother.
This thing is on Trump, bro. Y'all know that, right?
Oh, yeah, we know.
This one, Like I said, he just got caught with the worst term in the history to have a fool in the White House.
Oh, that hurts.
Oh, Lord. Okay, guys, we out of here. Our time's up. We've talked 15 minutes over time, almost. But that's the way it gets when you get a good conversation going. Come on, friends. Y'all have a good night, man. God bless you. Keep training. Keep each other prayed up. All right, Rob, I'm out of here, brother. Be careful out there. You home, man, or what? You working from home tonight?
Yes, sir. I'm home, man. Good job.
Oh, that's
man.
Beautiful. That's beautiful, ain't it, boy?
Yes,
ain't that beautiful?
Be safe, though, man. Love it. Love it.
Bless you, man.
All right, man.
Yeah, man. You're right. Good night.